Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of the master's household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a son against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and in-laws against one another, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves a child of theirs more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. And will you join me in prayer? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My sermon title is Recognizing Home, and it's very lovely to be here with you. I preached here once before, about 6 years ago, when I was working on my doctorate of ministry at BU School of Theology. And also, Dr. Paul Santmeyer is a friend of your church, and he is a Lutheran theologian, as I'm sure you all know, who has been in the forefront of speaking about caring for creation. His book, The Travail of Nature, and the subtitle is The Ambiguous Ecological Promise of Christianity, was very influential to me when I started in this work of bringing the church to care for creation about 40 years ago. And briefly, in one sentence, the thesis of that book is that Holy Scripture has two different aspects to it. One that encourages a deep sense of transcendence and of humanity as really separate from the earth. That's what he calls the vertical dimension, which is important, but if it's not balanced with what he calls a horizontal dimension, which is what he calls the good earth view, which is very prevalent in the Hebrew scriptures of the good land and a plentiful land and flocks and water, and also the understanding of Christ, the cosmic Christ, as creating all things, as we find in the Gospel of John and in Colossians. So that's the horizontal view, which God's very present in all creation. So that's basically my sermon. If you take one idea from it, it's to take that idea that all of creation is holy and that we need to balance more the vertical view, the transcendent view, with the horizontal, the immanent view. And we Christians, and also those of us who count ourselves as students of Luther, very much can feel the horizontal dimension, because Martin Luther, as I'm sure if you've read any of his writings, very much had a sense of God in all creation. He spoke about God in the rocks, as well as in the bread and the wine, and he was a mystic. And it's mystics who often understand in the mystical element in ourselves that that give us a sense of the wonder of all creation. And I want to thank my friend, Dr. Mary Coelho, who is here. I stay with her, and she has a PhD in history of religions and did her work on St. Teresa of Avila. And she and I have been talking about these topics for many, many decades. So I want to thank her very much. So a few points about recognizing home, home being our planet Earth, of course, and home also being our relation with God inside. When Jesus said to take up our cross and to follow him, and to those difficult passages about estrangements between family members, but the point, I believe, is that the inner focus on Christ in our hearts as the most significant love in our lives, or God in creation, however you want to say that, that should be the primary focus in our lives, the primary love, and underneath that love come all the other loves. And in fact, we grow in love, don't we, as we follow Jesus Christ. So Sir Francis Bacon, who was a philosopher in the Enlightenment period, was famous for postulating the scientific method, wrote this: God has in fact written two books, not just one. Of course, he said, all are familiar with the first books, namely Scripture, but he has written a second book called Creation. So my focus, and many, many people who are helping to heal our planetary crisis, are all about bringing the second book, Creation, into our worship spaces and bringing worshipers like us out into nature, baptizing outdoors in water. And the previous pastor here, I believe, baptized one of your members in the Charles River, and that's written up in one of the books that I read. So that's what we are hoping to do, to really discover more the wonder of God in creation. So as I thought about home and read Scripture, Scripture is so much about home, isn't it? Two origin stories in the beginning of Genesis about home, about God's creation in an evolutionary 7 days. We can count that in 13.8 billion years, evolution. And then the Garden of Eden story. Humans are asked to care for the garden, which of course is planet Earth, home. And then God promises Moses a promised land. And of course we know the fraught tension right now about the promised land between Israel and the Palestinian people, which Lutherans have been very involved in, and I've gone twice with Lutheran delegations. But home is what is given to all creatures, all people. And if the church would continue to claim that, Black Lives Matter is about home, isn't it? That all people are welcome on this home. And then moving up, Christians discovered in the love of Jesus of Nazareth the incarnate God, God at home in Jesus of Nazareth. An incredible statement brings tears to my eyes after 50 years of ministry. And then the second creation story, right? 13.8 billion years of evolution since the Big Bang, which is itself. Who understands the Big Bang? And then life's emergence, and then the emergence of life on Earth 3.7 billion years ago. What wonderful, incredible story this is, that we are the living heirs of both Scripture and of the scientific story alive right now. Two stories of home that come together. The early Christian mystic, though, Meister Eckhart, wrote, God is at home, it is we who are out. The state of the world and of Earth shows us that we are out. In our own lifetime, 80% of the carbon dioxide that is now in the atmosphere was emitted, just in our lifetime if we've lived 70 years. The Anthropocene, you've heard that term, the Anthropocene, and scholars And scientists talk about when the Anthropocene is the geologic age right now when humans have control over the planetary life forces. Did it begin with the invention of the steam engine in 1786 by Richard Arkwright? Did it begin in the burning of fossil fuels for industrialization in Britain in 1800 to 1850? Or did it begin in the great acceleration since 1945, when if you look at graphs and any studies, everything goes up like a hockey stick? Paper consumption, worldwide gross domestic product, population, weather weirding, air and water pollution, extinction of plant and animal species. The term slow violence is now being used for this effect of humanity on the planet, whether it's about the development of toxics in our bloodstream or about the loss of coral reefs, rainforest, and so on. Slow violence. The critical issue of our time is the fate of humanity on this earth. So, what can be done? And we know that young people are feeling very anxious about this because it's about their future. So, for the church to proclaim that it cares for the planet, cares for our common home, that is the most important thing that our church can do. We become aware, first of all, that this is a time of great meaning, a momentous time that we are privileged to live in and privileged to exert our leadership in whichever way that we are called to do so. Every major denomination has made statements about care for creation. Lutherans Restoring Creation is our national organization that is very effective, that has worship and sermons and fosters the Green Team Covenant, which I'm encouraging every single church to sign, where the church council basically says that we want to become a green church, and then each committee in the church has opportunities to work out what that means. And it's exciting, it brings energy to the church to do that. So signing a creation care covenant and having a green team in this congregation is very, very important. As we all know, Pope Francis took his name, of course, after St. Francis of Assisi, and issued Laudato Si, Praise Be, in June 18, 2015. That's a very important papal encyclical in which he laments, quote, the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. And he promotes integral ecology, the well-being of earth and humanity. And he is especially critical of the modern capitalist system in which everything is commodified, can be bought and sold. So far from his namesake, St. Francis of Assisi's understanding of our siblings being all the creatures, the moon, the stars, water, fire. So we can learn, we can make statements, we can act as a church. Second, we can foster our own meditational practices as we spend more time in creation, as I mentioned earlier. It's called eco-spirituality, and I lead a monthly Zoom. Anyone is welcome to join that, where we talk about how we've experienced the spirit or love or God in times of creation. And those are very moving sharings. And third, we can ask about power. Power is something difficult for us. And I think Jeremiah, of course, was writing when he felt God's call for him to exert power and talk about justice when it felt real oppression and suffering for him. It's difficult for many of us to talk about power in economics, but Martin Luther said, a theologian of glory calls evil good and good evil. A theologian of the cross calls the thing what it actually is. To call things as they actually are means to ask where the money flows. Just like the story of tobacco industries in our country, the fossil fuel energy companies, have the right to take all the fossil fuels out of the ground that they can. That took 150 million years to create. They will reap, of course, millions from that, and our planet will be totally destabilized, at least in terms of the civilization as we know it. United Church of Christ, Jim Antall, who was the conference minister for Massachusetts, is an activist, has gone to jail several times for resistance to fossil fuel companies, and he says that we need to cost out the negative externalities, how much our economic system takes from the planet and takes from our own health. If that was captured in our normal budgets, we would have a fairer picture of our whole situation. So, according to him and also Bill McKibben, I'm sure many of you know Bill McKibben, who started 350.org and Third Act for people over 60, we are to take our investments out of fossil fuels, whether we're speaking of our congregational investments or our denominational investments, our credit cards, and invest only in clean energy starting now. I suggest that each one of us choose one or two organizations to very much participate in, such as 350.org and Lutherans Restoring Creation. And you can send your email to Martha White at our Synod office, and then you will receive the newsletter that we create, the Green Team that I coordinate every month, and you can participate in the Zooms and be helped to start a Green Team here. There is much hope. Paul Hawken is a wonderful author who has written two books, Project Drawdown and Regeneration. And in his book, Regeneration, he writes that this book is offering a visionary approach to climate change that weaves justice, climate, biodiversity, equity, and human dignity into a seamless tapestry of action, policy, and transformation. That's what we need. If people of faith call out that the earth is the Lord's, that Christ's love is in all the DNA and the cells in all living creatures, and that we mean to be leaders to help state that earth is the home for every human being and every creature to live an abundant life as Jesus brought, we would be powerful. I end with a quote from Bishop Steve Charleston, who is retired bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Alaska and elder in the Choctaw Nation. Would you believe me if I told you we were the forerunners of a great spiritual renewal? What if I said this renewal would change our global culture? That it would see the emergence of a new mysticism, in contrast to technology and a strong social conscience of sustainability and justice? We are at the beginning of such a movement. We will not all live to see its first moments of birth, but we will have the joy of knowing that we were the shoulders on which others stood to make it a reality. History will show that what we do now in our lifetimes to lift up an open-minded spirituality, welcoming to all people and all creatures, will make a difference. Our choice is to stand together to advocate to justice and to heal this planet. This is the breakthrough. Because we did not give up, would you believe me if I told you that? Amen.